faithful our God is and that He is faithful to His own Word. Okay, well, let's start with some prayer this morning. Father, we're, again, exalting the name of Jesus. We have believed on You with all of our heart. Lord, we are trusting in You that You are the Almighty God. You are the Creator. You're the one that made us and You formed us and shaped us into Your image. And Lord, we are now going to walk it out. And I pray that as we understand more of who You are, understand Your goodness, understand Your plan from the beginning to this very day, that it just sinks in with us, Lord. And we take it and then treat it into our lives and then walk out a little bit different than we came in. We know You love us, Lord. We love You this morning and we're honoring You with our heart, with our lips, with our minds, Father, in every part of our being, our finances, every area, Lord. We sow it in and believe that You will take it and use it for Your glory, Lord. We love You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I was reading through the book of Deuteronomy. Okay, and if you haven't read the book of Deuteronomy, it's full of stuff. There's lots of good things in it, but there's some good stories in it. Okay, and there's a particular section of it that I was reading through that one day I was reminded of the one of the, I think, is the core messages that God wants to give to His people. Okay, and it started way back then. You know, we think, it's New Testament as a New Testament believer, but there's so many things written into that old that we're pointing towards where we're at right now in the New Covenant. Okay, and one of those things was the core message that is God gives to us not based on our goodness, but based on His. Okay, based on His, yeah, that's right, roger that. Because we understand that. That's an important part of our walk with God is knowing that if God based it all still today entirely upon our own behavior and our own actions, we'd all be pretty poor looking folks. It wouldn't be all that great for us. But God gives because God gives. Okay, and God is who He is. He is the God of love. He is love. And so He gives based on not our goodness, but based on His goodness. Now the Israelites gave us a good example in that book of Deuteronomy. We'll look at that here in a few minutes. But they were people a lot like us that they tried, you know, and sometimes they got it right, sometimes they didn't. Sometimes they messed things up. Sometimes they made a huge mess of things. Okay, they were not a perfect people. They messed up, in fact, on a pretty regular basis. If you read the history of the Israelites, how they get to walking with God, and then they start straying from God. They get to walking with God, start straying. And sometimes, you know what happens when they start straying is things start happening. It starts going awry. And that will happen in a Christian believer's life. So there's a message right there for us today. Keep on track with Jesus. Keep going towards Him and learning and growing and staying on track, and you'll see yourself going in that good direction instead of allowing yourself to go in a direction where other things start happening. Okay, well, even though that they messed up a lot, God still brought them into blessing. Okay, and He provided for them. He protected them. Okay, in spite of themselves. Okay, and that message, again, relates so much to the grace of Jesus Christ. It is not based on us, it's based on what Jesus did. And so that grace was evident from a very early time in the history of man. God's only requirement for those Israelites were that they would love Him with all their heart. Okay, that's what He wants. God wants you to love Him with all your heart. And then He said, and not to forget Him. Okay, not to stray away from Him, because that's what happens when you start forgetting God, you start taking God out of schools, you start taking God out of life. Okay, you begin to forget God. Okay, and you forget that He is that source, that He is your provider, your healer, your helper, all those things. Okay, and so He said, love Me with all your heart and don't forget Me. Okay, don't start straying away when good things start happening in your life, because sometimes we start taking credit for it. One great case in point in the Bible is when, remember when God called Moses to go up on Mount Sinai, okay, and he fasted and he prayed for 40 days while he was up there. And he spends time with God and is determined, God is determined to give the people some sort of instruction, okay, at that time, because they were struggling a little bit and God knew that. Okay, and I'll explain that here in a minute. But as they're struggling, God is like, I need to give them some instruction. Today we call them the Ten Commandments. Okay, anybody heard of that? Okay, they made a movie out of it, right? Everybody should know it. So God goes up, he gives some instructions in the form of these Ten Commandments. Okay, so he has Moses go, and he uses out a couple of stones. God writes with His finger the divine commandments of the Lord, okay, on these tablets. But by the time that Moses gets down the mountain to present them to the people, okay, 40 days later, less than a month and a half, the people of God had strayed, forgotten God, and had strayed from the ways of God. They had formed a calf out of gold, okay, and they were worshiping and singing and partying and exalting their newfound God in 40 days. Okay, now, granted, something had probably started long before that in many of their hearts. But think about that for a minute on how fast it happened. Okay, how quickly people were forgetting their God. Okay, in a matter of a few weeks. It's hard to think of that right now when we're going through this time in life and there's so many churches that are not, you know, some of them were not technologically able even to get things promoted and get out there. So they're trying, pastors are trying to keep in contact with their people, and yet people are just falling away. Many, many churches are closing that'll never reopen. They have no plan to reopen. They're just done. Okay, and there's a lot of people that will fall away from the kingdom and will step away and be drawn away into idolatry and other things. Not all, but some will. Hey, well, Moses, God had already told Moses while Moses was still up on the mountain that the people down below had strayed. Okay, God tells this to Moses, says, the people have gone astray. Okay, and God was inclined to destroy them from off the face of the earth and start over. Okay, it kind of reminds you of Noah kind of stuff. He just figured, and I think in that point, he even tells Moses, I'm just going to wipe them out, and we're going to start over with you and your descendants, your offspring kind of thing, because you guys seem to be following, or you seem to be in line. Okay, but Moses, as a mediator between God and man, very symbolic of somebody else we might know of, a mediator between God and man. Okay, so Moses, very symbolic of what Jesus did, pleaded with God, and he stood in the gap for them. And he asked God to give them another chance. And God then, just like he did with Jesus, had Moses go down the mountain, go down, and see for himself how far they had strayed. Think about that. God tells Moses, go down the mountain and check and see for yourself. Just like he sent Jesus down to us to see for himself. Lived as a man on this earth. So Moses was so upset when he finally did get down the mountain that you know how the story goes. They had strayed into idolatry. He gets upset, throws the stone tablets down, shatters them on the ground, because his first reaction was that God was right. These people didn't deserve the word of the Lord on these tablets. God was right. And that was his first response. Okay, it shows a little bit of humanity of Moses. Moses, though, was more deeply motivated than some people. And he was deeply motivated by his desire to see God glorified. Okay, you guys hear that out of my mouth, because somewhere along the line, as an early Christian, young Christian, God got this into my heart that everything is about him being glorified. Okay, and if we start straying from that to it's all about me, or you know, these things, we can get caught up in the gifts, we can get caught up in all kinds of stuff if we forget that it's about God. Okay, and it's about him being glorified, him being exalted in this world. Okay, well, Moses was motivated by seeing God glorified, and he felt that if the surrounding nations, and you could think of it as like the lost people, if they heard that God brought his people out here and then had to destroy them because of rebellion and because they were so evil and wicked, that the nations around would hear that and it would tarnish God's name. That's just how Moses' thinking was. And he's like, so if it, I don't want it to tarnish God's name. I don't want God's name being dragged through the mud because of what the lost or the nations around them are going to see. So God, or Moses, wanted God to bring them into that promised land, the one that he had been describing to them, so that his name wouldn't be tarnished. Instead of getting the glory, he thought God's, you know, would have been shamed in these other people's eyes. So motivated by this, Moses chooses to teach the people a new way. He corrects the people. He gets them back on track. He destroys the golden calf. He said he grinds the metal down to dust and then throws it in a creek which washes it down, which was a creek that was coming down from the mountain. Okay, and then he went back up through the mountain to see if he could somehow, if the Lord could just see it to forgive these people, to give them this second chance, and to actually rewrite those commandments. Can you imagine approaching God? Can you rewrite what you wrote there with your finger on the stone and etched it in there? That would be quite a scene. I can imagine that he would put everything, he knew his life was on the line at that moment. But he goes back to see if God will once again write his commandments on the stone, which God did. Okay, so God did that. But this time he included some very specific instructions for the people along with the commandments of the law. Okay, for one thing, he told them to remember his goodness. Okay, rather than threatening them with fear. Okay, and here's where some legalistic Christians get in, that God is out to get me. Okay, this is where that mentality is in there in a lot of people, but I want to show you this. God told them to remember his goodness. Okay, rather than threaten them with fear and destruction, God simply told Moses to remind the people of all of his great and wondrous works which he had done. Remind them of how I led them out of this and how I did this for them, and remind them of this and remind them of that. And it reminds me, as I read that, and I've seen this in the Old Testament, it reminded me of what Paul said in Romans 2:4. He said, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that it is the goodness of the Lord that leads thee to repentance." Okay, and so God pours out and says, remind them of my goodness so that they will remember that I am their God and that they are my people and that they will follow in my ways. Okay, God tells them to follow his commandments. Okay, God set the expectation, said, follow these commandments. I'm going to give you some instruction here. Okay, follow his commandments to love him and obey him, not for fear of punishment, but because they know how much he loves them. They know that God brought them out through this, God did that, and because of knowing that, God believes and knows that it will cause their hearts to do the right thing. See, God is not into using fear of punishment as a form of coercion to get people to follow him. Okay, he never really has been. Okay, he has always been motivated by love. Okay, and he wanted people to follow his ways out of love. And the King James uses the word fear, like a reverence, okay, for God, an honor and reverence for God, where we don't take him for granted. That's what fear. You don't want to take him for granted. So God says he wanted people to follow him out of love and respect for him rather than anxiety and terror. Okay? Because God has never ruled like a ruthless dictator. Okay, he has never forced people to love him and to honor him. But rather, he leads us like a loving father. He's always sharing the expectations, because we have to know that. But then he provides his people with ample opportunities to do the right thing. Okay, remember, the Lord tempts nobody with evil. But I believe he'll lay good things out in front of you all day long and see if you'll take them. Okay, to see if you'll go in that good direction, if you're following after what he wants you to do. Okay, he wants us to remember the good things that he has done and not to focus only on the times when he's had to destroy. Okay, because there are times, right? Noah is a good example. Okay, not very many made it after that because they weren't following God's ways. They had left, walking in rebellion and wickedness. Let's read some scriptures. I want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. I got quite a bit out of the book of Deuteronomy today. I want to start with Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 17. Here's what God tells Moses. Go and tell the people this. He says, "You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he has commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord has spoken," or like God said he would. "And when thy son asks thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say unto thy son, well, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh and upon all his household right before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, so that he might bring us in and give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear, to reverence the Lord our God, for our God, for our good always, so that he might preserve us alive as it is unto this day. He's reminding them, go and God is going to give you the commandments. Go and just do those because you know that he is doing it for your good. Okay, see, this whole scene that's in Deuteronomy that's described here is when God had sort of, I picture it like drawing a line in the sand. Okay, and that line in the sand was called the Jordan River. He was telling them that you're about to cross over the Jordan. And that line, when you get to the other side, is where I'm going to bless you abundantly. I'm going to give you this wonderful place that's flowing with milk and honey and rivers and green grass and the enemies and all the scary people in the land. He would drive them out from before them, even though they were bigger and stronger than they were. And this is the promise that God is giving to them. But God is sure to tell the people that when all these wonderful things happen, not to forget the Lord their God. Okay? He told them that he was going to bring them into this land of plenty and that he would destroy their enemies before them, but he did not want them to take him for granted and to begin thinking that because of their own righteousness or because of their own goodness that God had done these things. He wanted them to remember him and not to stray from his ways. Okay, I think I titled it Remembering the Faithfulness of Our God. Okay, let's look at some. Deuteronomy 5:15. He said, to remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Okay, in other words, you were in bondage. I'm the one that set you free. He's reminding them, remember that. Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 and 2. He says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. See, many people think, and I've heard this before, that when you're going through the evils of life and all the bad things are happening, well, God's just testing me, to see if I'm going to be faithful. But I'll tell you, the truth is that it's in the good times, when you're being blessed, when you're being provided for, that the true testing takes place to see what's in your heart. Okay, will you give God the glory? Will you give him the honor for it? Or will you take the credit and begin to forget your God? Mine own self got me here. And go on with life with that attitude. Deuteronomy 8:18, we read for the offering this morning, that thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for he it is that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is on this day. See, God wanted the people to know, to be sure to know, that he was not blessing them because of their righteousness, because he was blessing them because of his righteousness. He was not blessing them because they were good, but he was blessing them because his goodness was in them. Okay, look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 1 through 6. He says, hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over the line in the sand today. Okay, thou art to pass over the Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, and a people so great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day, that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto thee. Verse 4, speak not thou in thine heart, after that the Lord thy God has cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord has drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go in to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which he swore, the Lord swore unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 6, understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. And puts it blankly to him. It wasn't because you earned it. Okay? In the new covenant, we didn't earn our salvation. I was not a good Christian man when I got saved. Okay, that was the power of Jesus. That was his love and grace. That was his grace. It was what he did. All I did was believe in what he did. Okay, this scripture that we just read sounds a lot like what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 when he said that our salvation is entirely dependent upon faith in the completed works of Christ and not on our own works. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Even back then, crossing over the Jordan River to get to the good stuff, God says, don't think that it's because you were good. Okay, that message has been in the Gospels, and it's been written all the way through the Bible, that God wants you to remember it is him that provides and does what needs to do to put you in right standing with him. Okay, if you're still, I should have told you to keep your finger in Deuteronomy, but go back to chapter 15 of Deuteronomy. Another, thou shalt remember. Deuteronomy 15:15. He says, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman. You were enslaved, in other words, in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. God is constantly wanting them to don't forget who saved you, kind of thing, because that will help you. When you constantly or continually remember what the Lord has delivered you from, it makes it far easier to follow in his ways. Okay? You can't help but remember and to follow in his ways. Go a few more chapters there. Deuteronomy 24, verse 18. Deuteronomy 24, 18. He says again, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Okay, he's saying, if you remember that it was God that saved you and delivered you and brought you out, and then when he gives you a commandment, it will not be grievous. It will not be hard. It won't be like, oh, why is God making me break ties with that person? Or why, you know, what is it about this or that? You won't sense that when you remember what God has delivered you from. Throughout the scriptures, we see where the people of God were either remembering what God had done for them, or they were being taught to remember what God had done for them, the good works of the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7 is a good example. The first psalm, basically, that David had written. 1 Chronicles 16, 7. Samuel King's Chronicles, if you need to know where it is in your Bible. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 7 through 12. It says, then on that day, David delivered his first psalm to thank the Lord in the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Verse 8, he says, give thanks unto the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye all of his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Remember what God has done. Psalm 77, verse 11. Psalm 77, verse 11 and 12. Psalmist says this. He says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Remember the Lord and tell the people what the Lord has done. That's your salvation message. That's your evangelical message. Remember the Lord and tell people what he has done. Psalm 105. Verses 1 through 5. Psalm 105. Verses 1 through 5. He says, O give thanks unto the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, and talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his... Did I read this one already? Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. That's not Psalm 105, 1? It is? Okay. Wow, I just feel like I read that already. Praise God. Praise God. Well, let's... Even Jesus... Okay, in the new covenant, even Jesus at times when the disciples started struggling a little bit with doubt, they started straying back into doubt, wondering, how could this happen? How could what needs to happen happen? Jesus reminded them of what the Lord had done and what he was capable of in Matthew 16:8. Matthew 16:8, verse 8 through 10. It's talking about the multiplication of the bread and the fish. Okay, the disciples were there, but Lord, what are these little fish among so many? You know, or Lord, send the people away that they can go get something to eat. Okay, they had forgotten who they were with. They forgot who and the power that Jesus had. So Matthew 16:8, Jesus, when he perceived what they were talking about, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets took ye up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets took ye up? Jesus reminded them to remember what God has already done in your life. Okay? God will bless you abundantly above all you could ask or think. Okay? That is his nature. That's what he wants to do. Your faith in his son has brought you into this beautiful place. You have crossed that line in the sand. Okay? Think back in your life for a moment about all the times that God has taken care of you, the times when God has provided for you, the times that God has healed something in your body or someone you know, the times that God has guided you when, man, if you'd have just gone the other way around the block, you'd have been right in the middle of that car crash or whatever it was. Okay? God has been a big part of that. Think back in your life for a moment about some of those times. I know when I need healing in my body, I can recall a time when my son's arm got broke by a log being dropped on it, and we just laid hands on him and prayed, and a few hours later, his arm was perfectly well. I recall that, okay, and I remember that when things like that happen. Okay, the friend that had his eye got hit with a basketball and couldn't see out of his eye and asked me, I'll never forget, he said, you're a man of God, I know you are. And he believed too. And we happened to see each other up on a mountain in outside of Laramie. And I was up there with the youth group, and he was up there by himself hiking. And he says, I know you believe in the Bible. I know you believe. There's a lake over there. Can we go get some mud and you just rub it on my eye and it be healed? And I said, let's do it. And so we went and we smeared mud on his eye. And by the time he got down off the mountain, his eye was perfect. Okay, so those are times, that's things that we remember. What God has done in our life. God, we remember and recall those things so that we can have that faith built. You know, I can remember and recall numerous times in our life when we were in financially in dire straits, where we had a bill, something that was due, and we had no way to pay it. No possible way, and God provides for that needs. Just some miraculous thing. Somebody sends money in the mail. You go open the mail thinking it's more bills, and all of a sudden, here's the money that you need to pay that other bill. That's what we recall when we remember. You know, how many of you have had a blessing from God come in His timing that brought tears to your eyes? Okay? Because if you're walking by faith, I'll tell you, it'll humble you pretty quick when you're walking by faith and God just provides. You had no way to do something, and God just comes through and does that. You know, I can look back on my life and recall many times when there was divine protection on my life. Something that could only be explained by, you know, an act of God. When I was 15 years old, I rolled my car on the way to school one morning. It was snow and whatever, long story, but the point is I rolled the car going 70 miles an hour with no seatbelt on. Okay, and as it's rolling and it comes to a stop, it's laid upside down, and the roof of that car was flattened to the dash. Okay, and on the passenger side, towards the back of the passenger window, there was a gap about this big, and I wasn't as big as I am now. And so there was a gap about this big, and I was able to squeeze through that, push the snow out of the way that had kind of slid into the car as I went, and I crawled out of that car, and 2 hours later, I drove my parents' car to school, and I was back in school. Okay, no injuries, no nothing. Okay, not even, I'll just give God the credit, because I wasn't even really shaken up that bad. It was scary, but you know, when you're 15, you can do anything, right? Okay, you know, maybe I'm just an optimistic guy, but when I look back at my life, I do not see God being mad or mean or hurting me. Okay, all I see is the good things that God has done in my life. I have a pretty hard time looking through the events of my life and seeing anything but the goodness of God in play. God was never once trying to harm me or to hurt me. Okay? God has always been on my side. That's just the way that He is. He is always fighting for you. He's always standing in the gap for you. He is always desiring good for you. And He is the one that will make that way when there is no other way. Okay, when you received Christ, I believe that you stepped across that line in the sand. You entered into the place. You made a commitment to live in God's ways. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as God, take my life. I will be your servant. And you stepped into that good land that He wanted to give you. The last scripture this morning as I close this out is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. I want to tie this into where you're at right now under the new covenant in Jesus' name. Because you have believed on Him, and He did something when you believed on Him to put you in a place where you are worthy of His blessings because He loves you, He's good, and He wants to bless you. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy," think about that, how rich is God. "God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us," that's His motivator, "even when we were dead in sins, He has quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you are saved. And He has raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come," that's right now, "He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." God did what He did because that was His plan. He loves you and He is faithful to pour that goodness into your life. God wants you to continually think back to remember His goodness towards you. God wants to and He will bless you, not based on your goodness, but based on His goodness that is now in you. Okay, it's who He is. Hallelujah. Well, Father God, we're praising You this morning. Exalt the name of Jesus again, Lord. We lift You up and set You on a pedestal of our lives, Lord. It is You that has done what needed to be done to put us in right standing with You. Father, through your Son Jesus, whom we place our trust and our faith, whom we believe wholeheartedly that He lived that perfect sinless life, that He died and bore our sins on the cross and then rose from the dead according to your word. Father, we thank you that we trust in you. We thank you that we've entered into the promised land. Father, we've entered into this place of right standing with you and that we are now able to receive all these good things that you wanted to give us. Lord, we praise your holy name. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for guiding our decisions that we make every day, Lord. And I pray, Lord, cause your goodness to be so strong in our lives that it will cause us to follow in every one of your ways, to follow after you all the days of our life, never turning, never straying, never forgetting you as our King, our Lord, our Savior, and our God. Father, we praise you this morning. It's in Jesus' name that we grace your name. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen. Praise Jesus. Praise his name.